I love you all. I've been here once before, and I told you when I was here how much I appreciated you giving Brother Tom the time and support to come down to Kingsport all those years. And we love you. I'm thankful to be here because I love my brother and my sister. And it's very special for me. This is the highest honor I've ever known, what I've experienced in the last year and a half. It is the hardest honor I've ever known. But I'm just very thankful to be here. Thanks for having us and sharing this with us. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. And I want to call on the Lord one more time. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we need You. Dear Lord, if You do not come down and meet with us, then this is in vain. Lord, would You bless this service? Would You bless Your holy word? Would You send Your Spirit and meet with us, we pray. May there be two or three gathered here in Your name. Dear Lord, please forgive us. Please forgive us for Christ's sake. Amen. Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul and a man named Silas. They were called by God and they were sent with a message of truth to a city called Philippi. And as they preached, the Lord opened the ears of a woman named Lydia. And the Lord cast a devil out of a woman who was a fortune teller, a soothsayer, a palm reader. And the people that she worked for did not like that at all. They couldn't make money on her anymore. And the gospel was not well received there at all. Not at all. After Brother Caleb called me on the phone and told me that he and Bobby both wanted to confess the Lord, I thought immediately I knew what I wanted to preach on. And I was going to preach on the Lord going to John the Baptist in Matthew 3. And what a text that is. But I was brought over to Acts 16, and as soon as I read this, I thought, that is our story. This is our story. This is what happened to every single one of us. And this is the result of every single one of us. Well, here in Acts 16, verse 22... the multitude rose up together against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates rent off their clothes. They tore the clothes off of these two men and commanded to beat them. Beat them. Because of the truth. The truth that we are confessing tonight. This very truth, because of the cause of Christ, and that's exactly what they did. Verse 23 says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they beat them severely. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." How thankful we are that the Lord God has given us the freedom to do this right now. For long periods of time, people had to do this secretly. I thought about these men who have been doing this for years and years and years, whom I love. Thanks be to God, somebody preached the gospel to me. And could you imagine if these men whom we love were sitting in a prison right now because of all those years of preaching the gospel? The Lord has blessed us. These men were persecuted. They were persecuted. Did their being cast into prison thwart the purpose of God according to election? No. Their being cast into prison was the purpose of God. We're about to see what happened in just a minute. Did their being cast into prison shut up the life-giving message of the gospel? Did it stop the work of God's Holy Spirit? Did it finally work together for bad? Everything finally worked together for bad. Was God with them when Lydia's ears were opened and that devil was cast out of that woman? But now God's left them to themselves to suffer the consequences of preaching His gospel. God has worked all things after the counsel of His own will. And He's done this for the salvation of His own. Every single thing that happens is for the salvation of His own. Every single thing that happens. It's for the furtherance of the gospel, and it's for the salvation of His own. Now let's see what happened here in Acts 16, verse 25. It says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." They've just been beaten. They've just been thrown into prison and held fast in the stocks. And what do the two men decide to do? Verse 25 says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God." Did you know that's exactly what we're doing right now? Right this very second. That is exactly what happens in the preaching of the gospel. True worship consists of two things. The first one is prayer. It's calling on God for mercy. Calling on God for grace. Calling on God for help. For forgiveness. Prayer. And the second thing is praise. True gospel preachers sing the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. Here's what true gospel messengers say. "And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin, then sings my soul. My Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, Paul and Silas saying, just like this fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. It says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Verse 36 again says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." That is the message of truth. Call on God, for there is none greater. There's none greater. Thou alone art worthy. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He's the author. He's the finisher. All glory and praise be unto our King alone. Now look back at Acts chapter 16 with me. Verse 25 says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Thanks be unto God for opening deaf ears." If God doesn't open them, they're not going to be open. Thanks be unto God for opening blind eyes and laying hold on the captives. That's the work of God's Holy Spirit. And it comes through the preaching of the gospel. The prisoners heard. Turn with me to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." What glorious news to hear. I believe some prisoners perked up when they heard Paul and Silas praying and singing praises to God for everything He's done. Set free. Back over in Acts 16, verse 25 says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. When God opens a sinner's ears to the true gospel, there's an earthquake, all right. Foundations get shaken. Really shaken. Everything that sinner stood on and stood for is knocked out from under him. Everything. All of his doctrines are shaken. All of his religion and his morals are shaken. His morals weren't quite as firm as he thought they were. All of his comfort is shaken. All of his rest, it's all shaken. And you know what the first thing that happens to a sinner when he hears about this? Fear comes over him. It's all shaken. Every work he's ever committed crumbles into sand. It really does, doesn't it? Quicksand. And for the first time in his life, that sinner will realize, I'm going down. I'm going down for the first time. I am going down. And he will cry when he realizes he's going down. He will cry, Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He will cry from the depths of his soul, have mercy on me. And God will send the messenger with the song of praise. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is already laid for your faith in His excellent Word. And that sinner will cry, where is the foundation? I need it. I seek it. And the song of praise will rank. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground. And you now know this to be true, don't you? All other ground. Everything other than Christ, the rock of God, is sinking sand. It's just sinking sand. When God opens a sinner's ears to that message, and when God confirms that to a sinner's heart, you know what that sinner is going to say? My hope is built on nothing less. That's it. Look at the result of that. Look at the end of verse 26. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. That's the result of preaching the true gospel. Every sinner that God gives an ear to hear is going to be brought to the truth, which is Christ Himself. And the truth then sets that sinner free. Verse 27 says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. We have not broken the law. We've been set free, but the law is still perfectly intact. Every jot, every tittle. Verse 29 says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" That's all I've ever known. That's the only thing I know to say. What must I do to be saved? What is my part? What is my responsibility? Verse 31 says, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." You know what they told him right there? "It is done." They didn't give him a work. Believe on is not a work. They said, "You believe that Christ has finished the work. You believe that Christ has satisfied everything that is required for your salvation. You rest in what He has done. You rest in His blood. You rest in His righteousness." That's what you do. Do it. Turn with me over to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, our Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." A yoke hooks two together. And what He's saying is, there's an empty space on my yoke. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why? It's because He carried all the weight. He's already finished all the work. You just rest. Just rest. Back over in Acts 16, verse 31 says, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Verse 32 says, "And they spake unto him the words of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." They preached to him. Just like Brother Tom said, they preached to him. They told him the truth. God has chosen the means of using a messenger. That's the means He's chosen to use. Verse 33 says, "And He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when He had brought them into His house, He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all His house." What a blessing to be able to believe in God with all the house. As many as God has called and given ears to. And man, we rejoice in this together, don't we? There is nothing better than being in a house full of believers. This is my story. I know that this is your story. It's all of our story. What a story it is. This is what we're confessing. This is all we're saying in this water. But God. That's all we're saying. May God help us and bless us and bless His Word. All right, Brother Tom.